Hello, good evening to everyone again. This is Steve Nelson and Matthew Fraley from BreakpointTrades.com, and this is the weekend newsletter for July 26, 2009, and this is part two. In case you missed it, we did a summary of the major indexes on the weekly time frame in part one, and now we're going to be going over the daily charts, some of the intraday charts, and the commodities in part two, just as we did last week. So with that said, let's move into the charts. Do my best to get through these fairly quickly. The first chart I'm looking at here is the daily chart of the S&P. You can see how we broke above our resistance area back in the May time frame around this 875-880 area. We moved up to the 956 area on July 11th, put in a little intermediate term top. We ABC'd down, and what I mean by that is we had a corrective move, a three-wave move, an ABC down, and it held our support area down around the shelf support in that 875 area. Subsequently, we've rallied very sharply, breaking out of this downsloping bull flag, and we continue to move higher as the week closed. Now, the next major horizontal resistance comes into play at the November time frame, the November highs around 1,751. There is an open gap on the chart right around this time frame. It doesn't show up on the S&P, but it does show up on the SPY. So there's a little open gap at 1005.75. Should the index continue to follow through and break above our pivot resistance around the 990-993 area, it may go right for that gap. So we shall see. We'll look at that on the intraday charts below. But for now, we continue to move up, and there's really nothing startling on the daily charts that says that this advance is in trouble, other than the fact that the RSI now is back up over 70. In fact, I shouldn't say back up. It hasn't been over 70 in quite some time. It certainly didn't even get over 70 on our initial leg of this advance. So the RSI has been very strong, but it is up into overbought area. Overbought is not a reason to sell. We need a trigger to sell. Just pointing that out. So overall, the daily charts look fine, and we will see how things unfold in the coming days to see if we get at least some type of pullback. Now let's move on and look at the second chart on the S&P. And this takes a longer-term perspective, dating back to our previous highs back in 2007. So you can see the index back there at 1576 fell precipitously to 666. What I'm pointing out on this chart is a little trend line under the lows. You can see lows, 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 and now we have come up and we are right now in the process of touching this trend line. Again, I would say breaking over this trend line and holding over that trend line opens ourselves up to higher prices. This is the only near-term type resistance that I can see on the daily charts, and in addition, I'll show you the broadening top formation below. But right in here, along with the November highs, are the next resistance areas, but we don't have a big cluster of resistance up in these areas at this time. Again, this is just a long-term view. Whether or not we get a little pause here, little retracement, remains to be seen. We also have to be on the lookout for a termination of a rally should we get strong selling. But what I'm saying is, at this time, there's no signs of that from a technical perspective. The next chart is another view of the S&P. Here I want you to focus in on the thin blue lines, which shows a possible broadening top formation. I could have put a little labeling in here, an A at the first touch on the top, B, C, D, E. Okay. If so, we got to look for resistance here up at that upper area, probably around that 990, 993-ish area. that would be a potential resistance, and that lines up fairly well with that lows to highs trend line above. Again, maybe we pause there, maybe we reverse there, maybe we go through. Okay, no use guessing. We'll listen to the message of the market and see what's in store. A normal orderly pullback is something that we would look to buy. Only a precipitous reversal accompanied by poor internal readings would get us quite a bit more defensive. So for now, we're just taking it one day at a time and seeing what the market has in store. And right now, it is not elected to give us any type of deep retracement. Also, I'm including some point and figure charts tonight because when we start getting up into areas where there's not clear support or resistance in this case, one way to look and find out where really some true resistance may reside is to look at an average true range chart of on a point and figure chart. And here you can see, if you look at it, that we are right against some resistance here in this 979-ish area, 980 area. You can see that right here. We can draw across. We've got two X's there. Okay? Now, just above that, where it has the little B, that would be where an X is, but a B is put in because that occurred in November of 2008. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are the months January through September, and then October is A, November is B, and December is C. So right here, we're coming up to the previous highs, as I mentioned earlier, on the S&P back in November of 2008. That is the next resistance area. So another tool for you to use, especially if you're a swing trader, is to go look at an average true range daily chart on the point and figure format. It'll help you tremendously. Now let's move on and look at the 30-minute chart of the S&P. What you're seeing, and this is what we talked about last week on our intra-week updates, intraday updates, are the rising channels that are in place on a lot of the major indexes. And in order for us to get any type of pullback, we need to see these channels break. I did put a count on here, an Elliott wave count, suggesting right now that we are in what appears to be 5 of 5, okay, of either a larger wave A or a larger wave 1 of C up. So to repeat myself, on the smaller time frame, it looks like we are in the fifth wave, but in the bigger picture, as you know, we're in major wave C, and of major wave C, we would view this as either the first leg A or 1 of C up. Again, we're subject to change. We only use that as a guideline. And for now, we're watching this channel. So forget about the count and pay attention to the rising channel. A break and hold below that lower trend line will open up the door to some type of pullback. Whether or not it retraces 25, 38% or more remains to be seen. But I would say an initial target breaking that trend line would be back down to at least this 966 area. Okay? So my first target breaking below this lower trend line would be our previous pivot low at 966. And if that is breached, now we open up the door to a deeper pullback. So my focus in terms of support is that rising trend line and pivot support at approximately 966 on the S&P. Aggressive traders could take a trade short on a break of that rising trend line. It may even be a good swing entry. We don't know. We'll see what type of selling would materialize upon a break of that trend line, but initially you have to view it only as a trade and see how things materialize with an initial target down around 966. Maybe it's an ABC type formation where it would come down, find support somewhere around there, bounce up in B, maybe back test the rising trend line or back test the underneath of the trend line and then fall further. Hard to say, but one thing is for certain, the lower boundary of this rising channel is the important support to focus in on in the coming days. The next chart is just a 15-minute chart showing a similar view. You can see that below our rising channel, I've drawn in another trend line, and now that happens to come into play right around our previous pivot support. So I would look for support around that 966 area should we break down out of the channel as the initial support area. Will it hold? Will it not? Who knows? We've got to break down out of the channel to even make it worth mentioning anyway. So one step at a time. The next chart is a chart that I put on the blog that Raven put together, one of our members. And here is just a 5-minute view. Okay. Since we have this count in 5 of 5, we've tried to narrow it down. And now the question is, are we going to hold this resistance area right in here or slightly above and get some type of reversal? Well, if we do, a breakdown out of this wedge measures down to around that 968.69 area, which corresponds very nicely to that 966 pivot area that I talked above. So the measured move out of this pattern takes us down to that area. And again, remember, this is a 5-minute chart. And one thing I want to point out is until we break down out of this channel and or wedge, okay, we can continue to go higher. So if you're going to short into a strong uptrend, you better make sure you have a stop above, okay? The trend is out and you're playing counter trend. But a break of this channel, I think, opens up the door to some type of pullback. The next chart is a long-term view of the Dow. Here again, very similar to the S&P, I show that long-term lows to highs trend line. I have the broadening top shown on this chart. No use going into it any deeper than I have with the S&P above. The story is the same. Next chart's just a different view of the Dow showing the horizontal support I talked about earlier right around this 9100 area. Again, you know, a decisive break over there opens up the door to that 38% fib around the 9500 area. You can see next horizontal support. Next horizontal resistance is really up in the 9600 area plus. And here again is a point and figure chart on the Dow. Here too, you can see that we are right up against a previous high, which is resistance. That's where the high, X is. And then a break above here, next resistance in the point and figure is right up there at 9600. Just another view. And then here's the 30-minute chart of the Dow. Now, this index, better even than the S&P, has been very clear on this rising channel. Matt's got some comments here. It's also on the watch list for aggressive traders. A break of this channel, he talks about as an opportunity for a possible trade short. Okay, we're not viewing this as a swing trade at this time. If you put it on and it turns into something that picks up speed to the downside, so be it. But your initial entry, as we view it, okay, would be a trade short. And what you would focus in on with the Dow would be the initial pivot support here down around this 8850 area. So 8850 corresponds to the 966 on the S&P above. Again, let's keep an eye on the 60-period stochastics, which, as you can see on this chart, has still not breached. And I think it's been upwards of 10 days or so. Now let's move on and look at the Qs. Same chart I've shown that I showed, I believe, on Thursday. I've showed it a couple times. You can see the Qs broke out of this symmetrical triangle. They are pausing at this highs-to-highs trend line. Okay, we had that big candle on Thursday. We did have a slight down day in the Qs on Friday. It's possible that the Q's weakness is a little precursor to a pullback coming. But again, one day does not make a trend. So we need to see follow-through selling, get some sell signals turning to the downside to indicate that a pullback may be unfolding. One thing that you will see on the Q's intraday charts, and if you can move down now to the 30-minute chart of the Q's, you can see some distribution starting to show up here in terms of the volume. You look down below, you see some big red candles. So the Q's initially had some sell-off on the disappointment from Microsoft and Amazon. But on that pullback, they held their trend line. Actually, I think I redrew this lower trend line a little bit on the Qs, but they held in that general area. They ended up forming what looks like a little bear flag, and then they had a little slippage later on in the session on Friday. So let's keep an eye on the Qs in conjunction with the Dow and S&P charts above. Perhaps the Qs are leading the way here and suggesting that we may get a little downside correction. Again, nothing's definitive at this point in terms of the S&P and Dow. The next chart is a 15-minute view of the Qs. Again, I'm trying to focus in on some shorter time frames with the Qs to see if I can unearth some clues as to what's going on. You can clearly see that we have some distributory volume here over the last day and a half or so. And again, let's see if we get some further follow-through. As I've said, one day does not make a trend. You can, on your own, look at where some support areas would be on the Qs in relation to the, like I talked about with the Dow and the S&P above. And then, of course, the Fib retracements should we break below some of the previous pivot support areas. Now let's move on and look at the Russell. I know we've got several members who trade the small caps and like to look at the Russell. Simple chart here of the Russell showing horizontal resistance just overhead around the 551-552 area. And then we've got a little interesting area up around that 580-85 area where we could have a highs-to-high trend line and a previous little high that's shown dashed there. But again, nothing bearish on these charts at this time. Surely, they've come a long way in a short period of time. Some of them are up against some resistance areas, overbought, but nothing in terms of a clear sell signal on the daily time frame. Here again is a point and figure chart of the Russell showing the horizontal resistance right here around this 550-ish area. Okay, a print at 558.36 would be a point and figure buy signal on this particular average true range chart. Next resistance comes into play up around that 580, 582, 580 area. And remember, on an average true range chart, it's anywhere around that X, as long as it doesn't make it up to the next X. So it lines up very nicely with the candlestick work just above. And then here again is a rising channel on the Russell. The Russell was the strongest index late last week. It didn't even come back down and test its lower trend line. But again, a break of that lower trend line, I think, would open up the door for a test of lower prices. Your initial pivot support comes in just below this 530 area, and then we've got a 38% retracement down around the 520 area. And then the final chart that I'm going to discuss tonight is a 60-minute view of the VIX. And I find this interesting because the count that I can put on the 60-minute VIX is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, with 5 possibly being a little ending diagonal. Well, if this is a true count, then what we should be seeing is a reversal back up here fairly shortly, breaking out of this falling wedge. Okay? Doesn't mean it's going to turn the entire trend, but it could usher in some type of pullback with the market. Again, unless we see this wedge break to the upside on the VIX, everything is meaningless. So we need to see a move back up through this wedge, back above our previous high labeled there in D. And what you really want to see is an impulsive candle move out of there, suggesting we're getting some type of pullback. But for those of you who are shorter-term traders or looking or watching that you're long and you're concerned about giving back some of your profits, well, you may look at a couple of these charts for signs that you want to tighten your stops, lock in profits, or maybe you look to initiate some type of initial trade short. But again, at this time, this trend is very strong to the upside, and at this time, we have to view shorts in the putting on shorts as a counter trend play, going against the trend, and thus we have to view them initially as something to take profits fairly quickly on, unless it starts breaking down and accelerating to the downside. So we adjust according to the market, but initially in this strong uptrend, we have to view them as shorter term in nature. That's all I have to say. I'm going to turn it over to Matt.
All right. Thanks, Steve. And the next chart is the same chart I discussed in the part one weekend newsletters, which was the weeklies. Just a weekly chart of the NYSI Summation Index with the 5-3 fast stochastics overlay. And the same with the NASI below. Again, the whole key to these charts is that they are very good trending indicators, and it's especially useful with the 5-3 fast stochastics over. You can see that it tends to trend and many times catches 2 to 3 month moves. So pretty useful charts. Next, moving on to the other indicators, the BP, the bullish percent indexes for NY, the New York Stock Exchange, and NASDAQ. Again, you can see they're just moving high. Really nothing more to say here, just this is for your information. And next, the here's a 60-minute chart of SKF. This is the Ultra Short Financials ETF. And it is in the process of potentially forming a falling wedge with positive divergence. Again, I would view it as a trade short if it breaks out, not as a long-term hold or into the move up in the market. So, but it might offer you a trade. Remember, this is a very volatile ETF. And we do have a mechanical trading system for SKF. It uses a 6-minute chart, those of you who are paying members. Of course, this has nothing to do with the mechanical trading system. This is just a objective 60-minute chart. Next, moving on to just a sector. Here's the airline index, Dow Jones Airline Index, and you can see there's a little resistance here, and it's one of the sectors that really hasn't moved up strongly yet. Many of the sectors are really overbought, and it's one sector that hasn't, so it might have a little move to the upside. I looked at some individual stocks, and I may add a few to the watch list. By the way, the watch list, I have not had time to add any new picks to it this weekend yet. I will look at them this evening, and we'll probably add them either very late or early in the morning. So I'm going to be doing that. And also, regarding the mechanical trading systems, I'm going to be adding a new one to the premium content section of the website. Again, that is for paying members only. The mechanical trade systems are very useful, especially many of the new members, because they are very good about taking out emotions and giving clear-cut signals. I will alert you when I add a new system to the premium content section, probably via email. So anyway, here's the so that's the daily airline index, and the next one is the weekly airline index. It's the XAL airline index, Amex. You can see there's a weekly downtrend line approaching. If it breaks that, it could have some more upside easily, but some major resistance approaching just above. Now moving to commodities, you can see the commodities were up just like the major indexes and sectors of the market. The only thing down, of course, is the U.S. dollar, down about another percentage this week. And so just taking a quick look at commodities. Again, commodities are basically moving with the general stocks, so nothing too really stands out very much. Here's a daily chart of the CRB Commodities Index. And again, via the Elliott wave count, longer-term count, we view the pullback in July as a wave, major wave B, and maybe it's now starting its major wave C up. And hard to say how far wave C will go. Maybe it will retrace to the 38% Fibonacci retracement or so. But that's all the way up at 300. That's pretty far up. Hard to say if it gets there, but as long as the market moves higher, then commodities should move higher. When the market tops, then commodities will top. Pretty much that simple. And everything is moving inverse to the U.S. dollar, which I'll discuss above. Next is the weekly chart of the CRB Commodities Index. Now, the weekly chart really shows you an interesting view. Even though the CRB is at an okay bounce, you know, when you look at the weekly, it doesn't look like much. It had such a precipitous fall from the July 2008 highs. Commodity stocks have rallied a lot more. And I thought I had a chart of that in here, but I don't. Commodity stocks are basically following the market stock sectors much better. So there's a look at the CRB. And next, looking at crude oil. Really, nothing's changed on this chart from last week's analysis. Crude oil hit a top in June. And then in early July, it broke an uptrend line where the black line is there, which also matched the 50-day moving average. And it has had a bounce up here. And it is approaching major resistance at the broken uptrend line in black. So if it gets back above that uptrend line, then it should rally again. Or it could find initial resistance here and then pull back. Regular stochastics are starting to get a little overbought. So that's one thing to know. Longer term, if the market continues to move higher, which it appears like it could on the weekly charts, then crude oil, I could see it going at least back to maybe the 38% retracement from the July 2008 high. That's around $78 to $80. But we'll just see anyway. In the short term, resistance is that broken uptrend line in black. So it's just above. A pullback here seems logical for it to stop at least right there. Next, here's the weekly chart of crude oil. And the weekly chart of crude oil basically has the same long-term wave count as our account on the regular, on the major stock market indexes like the Dow and S&P. We still consider it a large bear market rally. We could be wrong. We could be in a new bull market, but it really doesn't matter. But if our count, long-term count is correct, then you can see where I get my possible target on the S&P, which is up there at the 38% Fibonacci retracement at about $78 to $79. And I also have a red horizontal line there. And if it gets above there, the next target would be the broken uptrend line of the channel, which could be, well, all the way up at $90 or higher, maybe even up at the 50% retracement. It really depends on how low the dollar goes and how far the market rallies this fall, I think. So that's what I see, and then once wave B would be in, then I think crude oil will have another big sell-off. And that's if this is truly a bear market rally that we're in. So that's my long-term analysis. Next, the U.S. dollar is really key to everything. It is key to the S&P and the Dow, and it is also key to commodities and gold. Here's a daily chart of the U.S. dollar. That is, it topped in March, and that is exactly where the stock market bottomed, as well as commodities. And so the dollar has been falling, and the market has been rallying. And the dollar is in a downtrend channel, and on the short term here, it appears to be in its wave 5 down. And whenever wave 5 ends, then we should begin some kind of rally in U.S. dollar. I think when wave 5 ends, that'll be a top in the market and in commodities. Now, how far wave 5 down goes, it's hard to say. Depends on how far wave 5 extends. So that's the analysis. But either way, wave 5 is definitely, looks like it has a lot more to go down before it's over. So, and the next chart, next two charts are long-term charts of the U.S. U.S. dollar. Here's a monthly chart of the U.S. dollar. It broke out of a falling wedge in 2008, had an initial move up. We consider that major wave A, and it had a pullback, and it looks like this is a major wave B pullback. Most people think that the U.S. dollar is going to sell off and go to new lows, but the weekly charts and the monthly charts tell us that this really could be a big ABC move up, and so this could be wave B that will form a higher low and then rally one more time, and that rally would correspond with another major correction in the stock market and commodities. Maybe it starts this fall. Hard to say, but that's what I see, and that's the longer-term count that I'm sticking with for now. The weekly chart is basically the same thing. It just shows you a little closer view. Again, hard to say exactly where the dollar would bottom if this is the true count, but it could definitely go lower, and that would extend the market indexes. You know, whether it's another couple weeks or another month or so or two, we'll just have to see. But that's my count for now. Next, moving on to gold and precious metals. Really, nothing has changed with gold. My analysis remains the same from last week, and my long-term analysis remains the same as it has since April. Here's the daily chart of gold. It's in a perfect symmetrical triangle. And of course, the other major resistance is the March 2008 highs. Respect the direction it breaks. So, really, that's it. It has been consolidating in this triangle since late February of this year. Energy is building for either a major rally up or down. Next are a couple weekly charts, three weekly charts. There's either a bullish or a bearish case setting up here. Hard to say which one, but either way, because of the triangle setting up and the consolidation that has been occurring, a big move is coming. Here's a weekly chart of gold. This is the bullish case. I presented this case back in April this year. It has gold consolidating into a very bullish inverse head and shoulder. At the time, I stated that the right shoulder needed more time to morph out. It wasn't long enough with respect to the left shoulder, and that is exactly what happened. So it's had a few more months since April, and it is the pattern looks very symmetrical now. You can also see I drew the symmetrical triangle pattern in on this weekly chart. It has formed a series of higher highs here. So again, this is the true pattern. It should just continue to rally, and it should bust out. The pattern measures up to about 1350, I think, if you measure from 700 or so to, you know, the 650 to the 1,000 high, whatever. So around a 1300 to low 1300s, if the pattern is correct. Either way, the major resistance is the neckline, up a little over 1,000. It has to take that out for this pattern to be valid. The next chart would be more of a bearish count. It's bullish long term, but it would be bearish in the intermediate term. It would have U.S. dollar, or it would have gold possibly going up a little higher here, finding resistance again, and then having a major pullback along with the general stock market, and maybe down to the long term uptrend line from 2001. That would be wave two, and then that would also correspond with a major rally in the U.S. dollar, which I discussed on the weekly charts above. Then we'd have another move up. Which scenario is going to play out? It's hard to say. It depends on what the U.S. dollar does. The next chart is another chart of weekly chart of gold, and again, to see the other bullish case. The chart I had back in February 16th, and the only reason I'm showing it is because I have not adjusted my trend lines, and it appears that I've been following these trend lines. This would have gold as in its wave 3 up, and it has yet to break out of resistance. Really, it's the same as the inverse head and shoulder pattern. But again, we'll see which pattern plays out. We should know over the next month or two at most. And lastly, here's a chart of GDX. It's a long-term daily chart going back a couple years, 2.5 years. It appears that GDX is also forming into a big symmetrical triangle pattern. So gold stocks are going to make a big move, too, in the future as well. And that does it. And Steve, do you have any other comments? Dad? I guess Steve is gone. So that does it, folks. I will talk to you later, and have a great evening. Thank you.